in our most of it. Most of these verses here is self-explanatory, and I mean, it's wrote in sixth grade English, and there's no hidden agendas to the thing. I want you to notice in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And this sets the whole scene for the armor, because everything about this armor is the Lord's power, and it is the Lord's. And notice you'll find that he goes and he lists, he said in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now turn with me to Jeremiah, and hang on to Ephesians, but look in Jeremiah chapter 13, and notice this principality and what it is. In Jeremiah chapter 13, and people asked about the principalities and the powers and everything. Well, Jeremiah chapter 13, look in verse 18. "Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory." Or then that tells me what a principality is. If you have a king, you got what? A kingdom. And it's the realm and the reign, it's the territory that's covered, like the United States would be a principality. And so Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now look in Daniel, and notice in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10. And so what we're going to find out, that these are government structures that are, we see the type of them on this earth. In Daniel chapter 10, notice in verse 12. In Daniel 10, verse 12, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come from for thy words." In other words, Daniel begins to pray about what he saw. And so he gets down and he's praying. Now, Daniel's here on this earth, and so if we drew it up here like that, Daniel's somewhere, and he's on this earth praying. And so from the first time that he kneels down and he prays, God hears him. And so the Lord sends the man Gabriel unto Daniel. Now, notice what he said in verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia." Now, Persia is Iran today. Modern Iran is what the Bible is, the biblical Persia. So you find "the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. And Daniel prayed for 1 and 20 days. So I know that there is a territory up here, and I'm drawn. That is a principality. That is a government. And so God sits up here. Now, we know that there's water above the universe out there, and that the top of it is frozen. It's called a sea of glass out there. We know that Job talks about the deep, it being froze on top. John sees the throne and a sea of glass out there, which is ice. And we know that there's a path, according to Isaiah, somewhere in that water that the Lord Jesus come down and went back up when he resurrected. So God hears Daniel and he's praying for 21 days down here. And so the first day, Gabriel says, I was dispatched the first day that you began to pray. But the king of Persia, the prince out here, this dude, look at it. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Come down to verse 20. Then he said, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. So that would be Israel has a prince over here. And so you'll find that there's a territory over here. And Grecia, back here, Greece, on and on. All these kingdoms. I guarantee you there is a territory somewhere out there that would be the good old U.S. of A. And there is a prince over that territory. Principalities is kingdoms, folks. And they have princes over them. And those princes are the chief rulers over there. You would have Russia, China. And you know, I was reading and studying, when I was studying preparing for this, do you know what the symbol for China is? Anybody know? Isn't it a good old dragon? And they call it Red China, dragon. And there's a dragon, a red dragon that's going after the man child, and it's the devil. Isn't that fascinating if you think and just let the scripture? But there are principalities and powers out there, government authorities, just like they are down here. Now, we are, and I don't want to get into it, but you have the king, you have his servants under him and his list. We have a president that's supposed to be the ruler, whatever, leader. I mean, you know, I don't want to get into that, but then that's federal. We have local, we have state government, we have sheriffs, we have senators, we have congressmen, we have county government and on, and county officials out here, state, local, I mean, it just goes on. These structures, now turn with me to Romans and look at Romans 13. In Romans chapter 13, notice in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, of the power. The powers I want you to see are structures. that God has ordained to keep law and to keep order. So you have county, you have state, you have federal, they have kings, we have princes, and whatever it is out there. And these principalities and powers and laws, you have here like law enforcement, you have the armies and the protectors, and all of this stuff is laid out. It's ordained of God. God set the thing up. Turn to Amos and look in the book of Amos. And notice this thing, and it is like a power structure. Notice in Amos chapter 9. In Amos chapter 9, notice in verse 6. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. And that sea there is not the ocean. You don't pour no water out from the ocean on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Notice in verse, he says, it is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven. Now, folks, the stories there are power structures. That's the Hebrew word of it. And they are out there, laid out there. And so, here's the whole deal. God Almighty, there was a rebellion that took place. God stopped it. But the devil gets into the heavens out here. And there are positions of authority out there that they're over. And I've just read to you about them. And there are battles that go on out there. Where do you think Star Wars, do you think a man just thought of this stuff? The God of this world knows all of this stuff. There's only about 6 storylines to every movie, every show you'll ever see, and they come out of a King James Bible. You always have the hero. You always have the man riding the white horse coming in with the white hat saving the day. He's the Antichrist. You always have the bad guy. You always have him. The world looks at Jesus Christ as the bad guy, as the outlaw, as the rebellion, as the imposter, and on the thing goes. But the point is, he's the God of this world. Now, why does he hate you? Now, Paul said back in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against these principalities and these powers that are out here in the heavens. And by the way, they have servants, just like the ones on this earth have servants. The sheriff, he couldn't do nothing without his deputies and detectives and the men that work for him. He couldn't control this county or any county. He has to have people under him to do the job that he's to oversee. Same way it is out here. You have all this. And so these agents come and they wrestle you. Why? I mean, why don't they leave us alone? Well, they would if we wasn't preaching the gospel of Christ. They would if we didn't stand for this book rightly divided. They would if we didn't have the knowledge of this. They'd just let us go right on and probably people come, they'd probably encourage people to come and put it on their minds to go up there. And when they got up there, oh man, they'd make them feel good. You see, I think they're demoniac forces that goes on and influences people and causes people to do certain things. That's why people get under conviction. You see, when they come and get under the preaching of the Word of God rightly divided in the gospel, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with them. And he begins to trouble them about their eternal state. And then, they ain't long, they find the reason to cut out. Now, he goes on, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places, or heavenly places. Now notice in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and Paul stresses this through there. Our weapons, notice in our 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. For though we walk not in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, we don't get in fist fights, even though you might feel like it, but you don't do that. We don't do that because somebody disagrees with us. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. Is our weapons carnal? No. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, our weapons are not carnal. So we are fighting a spiritual battle and we have to use spiritual things. Now, notice this thing about it. So we know what principalities are. It has to do with territories. It's the realm of rulership. Now notice this thing also about your armor. Turn with me and look in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Every piece of armor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice in Isaiah 59. Let's see, I'm going to read verse 14. Isaiah 59:14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And you don't have much truth today. You don't have, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. If I wanted to know truth, this is where I got. But today, men have turned their ears from the truth and are giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they want to be preached fables and stories and all this instead of truth. Now notice what he said. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For, now watch it, this is the Lord. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate, and for a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. Now folks, turn with me and hang. Now notice this again. Just turn a page down. Come over to Ezekiel and look in Ezekiel 22. In Ezekiel 22, you'll see about how strong, how you should, you're important. Ezekiel 22, notice in verse 30. I sought for a man among them, that they should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now I want to use that, and notice back in Isaiah 59. You see, and I'm going to take this off up here. Your battle is a spiritual battle, and we've done won it. Now, before we read in Isaiah, and I need to do this, I need to go to Acts first and look in Acts chapter 7. Now, Jesus Christ come into this world, he was baptized, and he died. He went to the cross. And they nailed him between two thieves, and he died for your sins. But he's the king. And they said, we'll not have no king but Caesar. We'll not have this man. So they crucified him. And then, so he is buried, and he arises and ascends back, and he sends the Holy Spirit back upon the 12. And they begin to offer the kingdom to the nation Israel here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapters 2, 3, up to 7. There's something that happens in 7, but notice in Acts chapter 7. And he goes on, he says, verse 24, when they heard these things, this is Stephen preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So Stephen is there, and so he looks up and he sees Christ standing. Now, look at this thing back here. In Psalms, notice in the book of Psalms, and notice in Psalms 110, and we're going to tie the together, but notice in Psalms 110, notice verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Turn with me and look in Isaiah. In Isaiah again, in chapter 3, I believe it is. Notice in verse 12, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the ways of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. In other words, I believe in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen looked up and saw the Lord standing, brother, the wrath of God was to fall. And he was to make those enemies, and he saw him standing, and that's an indication when he saw him standing, that, and they knew it, the wrath was coming. But the wrath never did come. The trib never did know, but nothing happened. So what happened? Well, Paul sees the Lord in Acts chapter 9, and he's saved. And you know what this is in here? It's a gap. And the wrath will come over here after this gap is complete and we're took out, the wrath will come, and then the second coming of Christ will come, and the thousand-year reign of the kingdom over here. This is called the tribulation in here, the time of the Antichrist, and on and on. So, this is a gap. God sought for a man to stand in the gap, but He found none. Isaiah 59 said, He done it. He brought salvation. He put on. Now, what's He talking about? Folks, you know the man that's in the gap today is that new man. It's the body of Christ. And we have the armor of the Lord. We're standing in the gap. Do you know what's keeping the wrath of God off of this country and this world? It's the saved, redeemed of the Lord. The ones that the world hate and call them silly names, the ones that they despise, the ones that they don't want nothing to do with, bless God's the ones that are keeping God from knocking them in the head. We're the body of Christ. We're standing with the armor of God. And Paul said, be strong in the power of His might. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And we're there. Well, it's time to go. You know, I just get started and I have to quit. One of these days I'm going to preach my sermon first and have Sunday school later. One other thing. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6 and notice this thing. We're to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's His righteousness. Just like in Isaiah 59, He put on the the Lord's body. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what Paul calls my gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's what this world needs. This world doesn't need story tales told to them. They don't need fables. They don't need all these fairy tale stuff. They need to be told that they're a low down rotten sinners, and if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, they're going to split hell wide open. That's what the world needs. They need to know that there's a man that's standing in the gap, and if they want to be a part of that man, they've got to trust Christ as their Savior. I'd rather be in the body of Christ than to be in this world and have everything that the world could offer. Because one of these days, I don't care how much money you got, I don't care how much health you got, I don't care about all of that, one of these days is coming to an end. Then what? I was thinking about some, I was reading some things about the wealthiest people in the world that's done died. And the thought come to me, all of their millions and billions of dollars couldn't give them one more breath when the Lord cut that silver twine. Whenever that thank silver cord is cut, don't mean nothing now. Talking about all these celebrities. That's all you hear. These men and women that's died all of a sudden. How great and all they've done. If they didn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't care. It meant nothing to God. Paul said, though I have sell everything I got, give it to the charity and have not charity, I'm nothing. Give my body to be, I'm nothing. Folks, without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. This man standing there with the armor of God, and it's His armor, it's His righteousness, it's His salvation. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereof He's able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18, praying always. Folks, it's all His armor. It's His righteousness. It's His salvation. Everything you see around you is because of Him. The life that sinners have, the air that they're breathing right now, their life comes from the Lord. The Lord is the only one that has immortality. And if the Lord would pour His Spirit of life off of this planet, it would immediately be destroyed and be like it was in Genesis 1:1, between 1, verse 1 and verse 2, without form, void, darkness upon the face of the deep. You see, there is no life. You go out, you breathe that air, you look at the trees, you see the green, you look at everything's life. That comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you understand? He is the only one that has immortality. And my life, we live, we move, we have our existence, our being, because of Christ. I don't care if you're saved or lost. You've got life because of Him. One of these days, that man, last pat, and I'm going to close, I promise. Look in Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, verse 6, and now we know what withholdeth, that He might be revealed in His time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only He who now letteth will let unto He be taken out of the way. That let. You know, you play tennis and the ball hits the net and they holler, let. It hinders. It restrains the ball from going over. This right here is keeping the Antichrist from being revealed. One day He's going to be taken out, and then that wicked shall be revealed. Now, well, I don't know what I'll do, preaching. I don't know if I.